guests on this program are not necessarily the views of KWBA Radio or the Associated Students of the University of Oregon. AccuRadio is an editorial collage providing analysis and opinions of John Zerzan and the community at large.
You're listening to Anarchy Radio here on KWBAUG. We got John in the studio, I'm in the studio, and we're going to be here for the next hour, 541-346-0645.
We do not. It's been another promise that it will be connected and installed this week. And the sound you might hear in the background is me grinding my teeth, so I'll just wait a bit that. It's another apology. But by now, just about everybody knows what hit over the weekend, what is actually called the penny on paper of the digital age, about 40 years after the. And those other inbound papers, in terms of a bit more, 92,000 documents published by the New York Times, basis for war crimes indictments, and somewhat more shocking news, already somewhat known, the fact that the Pakistan government intelligence services and military have been helping the Taliban. So So Empire really has no reliable partners, not even the client states. These puppet governments are completely unreliable, but that doesn't mean there won't be war in Pakistan. There already is, to some degree, creeping along. And just to go back for a second to the violence in Iraq as the target to take for pullout of most combat forces, it's very much scary. This is a good one. When did this happen? Well, a few days ago, a big ceremonial thing turning over the transfer of the proper, which is the last big jail that had been under American control. Well, on Friday, it turns out that it didn't work out too well. Several federation members of Iraq's most violent insurgent group escaped. So that's another part of the fiasco. Not so widely known. The Iraqi government has forcibly closed trade unionism in the country, prohibited union activity, seized trade union assets. So, yeah, all these cases, all this blood, thousands of people killed, years of war, and, you know, it's a good idea to get on any level, you know, just one place. And all these wars, of course, become more and more expensive in their high-tech status, the high-tech nature of modern warfare, trillions of dollars. But they go on and on for several reasons. Partly, it has to do with the fact that there is no draft and that there have been no tax increases to pay for the wars. There have been four, which since 1991, the two Iraq wars, Afghanistan and Pakistan, not to mention the smaller scale activities in other parts of the world. But yeah, what is already going on in Pakistan has been going on secret. Activities, you know, some, and the Obama government is really talking about that. And this is against the backdrop of the, really, there was a lot of talk last week overshadowed by these documents about the reality of the war in Afghanistan, how badly it's going, the level of civilian casualties and all that. But, earlier this month, for example, the feds took down a free WordPress blogging platform, disabling more than 73,000 blogs. And they said something about there were copyright infringement that wasn't being specified, no process at all. This was just a big clampdown. A million things. It could even go into how there wasn't the slightest effort by the Obama regime to go for even a partial phony cosmetic anti-pollution bill. But just to stick for now, just on the security thing, I started to mention the stories are coming up late last week about the ballooning security state, the ballooning, I'm not sure the police state, but what it is, the fact that over 200 new or somewhat reorganized security outfits have been created post 9/11. It's just enormous. The scope of this was not known. And that's a story in itself, and I want to waste a lot of time on that. But in that last month, the Obama regime decided to pursue leaks. Now they get one of the biggest leaks of all, of course, we read all this talk about Afghanistan, but they are prosecuting media leaks to the media from agency, anything to do with them, security much more aggressively than Bush. So that's part of the general. Yeah, a lot of openness here, a lot of, doing it the nice way. By the way, what is the next state? What is the next nation state that's likely to go nuclear weapons? Well, there are several in the running. These are from some of it. Apparently, it's likely to be Myanmar, also known as Burma. But we can't go back, can we? We can't go back. We got to keep on forward. It's not going to be much of time. We never go back. Not just a political question, it's a different question. Well, China is now leading the world in energy consumption, surpassing the U.S. years ahead of the forecast. That's how it happened. It's wonderful news. More all kinds of stuff packed into that little statement. And we found out that June is the warmest month ever around the world. Fourth consecutive warmest month on record for planet Earth. The trend will continue upward because of greenhouse gases. You've heard of that. All this stuff about the what's going on in the East Coast Coast. It's late July. It's up. But yeah, that's not the point. It's a little more serious than that. Then we could come back to the Gulf, but we could detour to the places along the Yellow Sea in China, Northeast China. The gigantic oil spill, severe threat to sea life, water quality, their latest environmental crisis that's been spreading up the shores of Dalian, once named China's most livable city, and of course, they get poisoned too. They don't get to be number one in terms of energy consumption by not burning everything either. So now they've been rushing to keep the oil from the natural water, just like it's spreading across the Yellow Sea. Pretty enormous, it's well known. And the both corporations here, in terms of disasters in the Gulf, they have been designing a response system. So they'll have a standby readiness as if that had anything to do with dealing with the enormous one. And the A100 starts tomorrow and temporarily not so much thinking, but if you can't, if you're doing things that turn into disaster, what could this, you can have this PR thing and have this standby thing, but it's meaningless and probably very few people believe it. Oklahoma is forced to revise their operations because some of their off-peak gas leaves there. And just today, this is Battle Creek, Michigan, 800,000 gallons have flown into the flowing of the Kalamazoo River. And last night, back to the Gulf, rainfall hit a well. Oil and natural gas have been spewing 100 feet in the air since that collision in Louisiana. Just outside the marshlands, what, 60 miles south of New Orleans, something like that. And the 42 million gallons of dispersants, let's not forget that in terms of the oil disaster, 42 million gallons, according to the government, has been deployed. Dispersant is four times more toxic than the oil itself. Yeah, it all works out pretty well. You know, my focus is so often on these weak and seemingly irremediable things. As civilization gets worse and more malignant. But it's also, maybe I haven't made this too clear, but that's also getting weaker, the whole system, the whole overarching civilizational thing. As Dan Todd has pointed out, force and fraud are not the same as power. Force abroad and all kinds of fraud at home are really signs of weakness, ideological weakness, the incapacity to have a coherent basis in which people can really take part in what we cling to, believe in terms of the present and future, and that's gone. Well, there is a lot of weird stuff going on. I'm going to get the action news on the other side of the break. I'm not sure which we could have calls. You might have heard about what happened with the big that you finished a music festival near Dusseldorf in Duisburg, Germany. And this is when, I think it was Saturday. Yeah, Saturday, 19 people were crushed to death, 342 injured. City officials chose not to evacuate the site and close down officials. Their fearing might spark more panic and chaos. And many people continued dancing unaware of the deaths. Rescue workers carried away the bodies as techno music thundered in the background. Doesn't that just sound, maybe I'm pitching this, I think, in a little bit. I don't know, kind of a metaphor, keep on dancing, let's not, we've come this far, we got to keep on going. Mass culture in Gasly and all the rest of it, and this is obviously a spectacular example, but it's so easy to come up with tons more. From religious sports, which is a village with doping scandals and, well, anyway. Global warming news. I think it was about a month ago or so, I mentioned this fungus used up in the tropics that has taken root in the Pacific Northwest, starting in Canada, and working its way down the west coast. And I think it's perhaps already in Northern California, 15 people have died over the past 6 years. This is not, this is the fungus, Cryptococcus gatti, which grows on trees. And when it's cold enough in the winter, this thing doesn't survive. And the parallel thing is the white bark pine forests that have been decimated across Wyoming, Idaho, and Montana. Due to the white pine blister rust, it's called. Forests used to be protected by hot winters and cool summers, but warmer winters and summers have allowed this beetle, which carries the disease, the pine beetle carries the result of pine muscle rust, and allowed those beetles to breathe more quickly and move to the higher, supposedly, or at one point, cooler elevations, where white bark pines normally live. Well, we got the penguins washing up on Brazil's beaches, they couldn't have starvation. Lots of homeless on Hawaii's beaches. Lots of homeless in the paradise of the Hawaiian Islands. And the thing about global warming, after years of coral reef destruction, the indigenous Panamanians who live on low-lying Caribbean islands called Panama are forced to move as the seasonal wind storms and tides combine to submerge the tiny island. Sea is rising, the water level is rising. That's just the right wing plot, though. It's just a lot of wacky movies, and which they left them by six boats to bravely and sensibly by a certain amount of people. Steve Wilson of the Ocean Conservation Group Five Geyers has come up with a conservative estimate of how much plastic is in the oceans of the world, the global ocean. Wilson conservatively estimates that there are 315 billion pounds of plastic in the ocean right now. The conservative estimates. Here's the health thing. It's unrelated. For some correction here. The brown circle spread rhythm and anthrax. In other words, the hide-covered instruments. They bring so much rhythmic pleasure. They were community drum circles, or corporate drum circles, whatever drum circles. A 24-year-old New Hampshire woman developed gastrointestinal anthrax following a drumming circle, contaminated hides. Anyway, well, I will refrain from making a joke about it, please, and I wonder if it's done to it, but yeah, I think it's a little funny. It isn't being industrially produced, it doesn't have I'm going to get through some more dark stuff here with the comments, and then we will take a break, and we'll go to Action News and some other things here. This is in the Wall Street Journal last week, an article called Suicidal Tendency. Are we having big phone calls or just phone calls?
We're just having phone calls. Some people are telling me that they can't hear it on their radio.
Oh, no kidding.
And that they can't hear it on the web.
No stream?
The stream is doing weird things. It's ring buffering for everybody.
Ring buffering?
Yeah, it means it's choppy.
Oh, it's so slow. But the recording?
The recording is going to be fine.
That's going to be good.
Just fine.
Oh, boy.
We're recording it from the FM.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to put down the rusty razor that I was about to put into my throat. Yeah, it's a good thing this station is so functional. It's a good thing that things are just okay all the time. Well, get a better soft pedal that. You know what? Anyway, this article, Suicidal Tendency, has to do with suicides among entertainment celebrities, singers, actors in Korea, in South Korea. Startling, shocking things. One of the latest ones was Yoon Hye. Oh, I'm sorry. The 32-year-old actor and singer Park Yong-ha, amazingly popular TV personality, performer, and new Japanese concert tour. In a few days, or later this month, killed himself. And this is other famous characters of all kinds, high-profile people. That's kind of a rash. And one, more than one commentary, he's referring to weakening social integration, erosion of the traditional societal support bases. That's what accounts for this high rate of suicide. The very rapid industrialization, the very fast onslaught arrival of the techno culture. It's not so lovely. And this is one of the parts of the iceberg, you might say. There's a lot more fundamental things that are going on, and we show up in these startling things. South Korea is the most wired country in the world, according to Oxford University. That doesn't always translate into good things, to put it mildly. And if we seem to accelerate a piece of that in a lot of cultures, maybe just one other thing on that. Just today, in the LA Times, from China, how these different e-gadgets are replacing the kind of diligence and practice it takes to write in Chinese, to write the complex language with its characters. If you're just texting it, you're not actually doing that. And that, of course, that is built on the fact that in lots of schools, kids are not even taught writing cursive because what are they need that for? They just going to be able to do that and kind of thing with the symbol that I actually putting into the picture that's cursive. Okay, I think we'll have a little break and then we'll come back with some activities.
Thank you.
views expressed on this program are not necessarily the views of KWVA Radio or the Associated Students of the University of Oregon. Anarchy Radio is an editorial collage providing analysis and opinions of John Zerzan and the community at large. We're here, sort of. Troubles with the signal, troubles with the stream. Just talking to Carl about it. We have got a couple of calls about that. But one thing, the old fallback thing, is the archived version, which is most easily found at John Zerzan.net at my webpage, my radio TV webpage, also at archive.org. You can get it even faster from archive.org before it's moved over to my John Zerzan.net page. That is being recorded, and it dips sort of goes around all the other problems, the chronic problems. Sorry. All right, some angry news. First of all, a question. I think it's been since Friday. I've asked one or two people. No one seems to know what happened with Bite Back, the wonderful animal liberation source of news, a wonderful resource. It's been offline since, I think, Friday. And it still is, and I'm just hoping that's just, not that the fat arm of the law is knocked on the door and dragged them away somewhere, so, you know, I have no idea, I don't know why. I hope they're back up. They've always consistently been there, and I don't know what's going on. If you do, you can call and just leave a message here, and we would share that. I hope it's something somewhat better. Okay, let me see what we got. I don't have really a great ton of stuff, but let's see. Last Tuesday in Rackham, the parking spot near the border with France, a truck transporting brand new Saab cars was put on fire. This is in Belgium. The whole truck and all the cars burned. A second truck loaded with oil also burned. A few days earlier, another truck loaded with cars, one of these big carriers, burned not far from there. Police are investigating if these were arsons. Oh, come on, that's a different conclusion. Also last Tuesday, a fiber optic cable in downtown Birmingham was cut, disabling the traffic surveillance cameras, the area traffic cameras and things like that. The exact location wasn't being disclosed, but it was disclosed that this was not an accident, apparently. It happened Monday morning, which is part of Tuesday. Thursday, Bangladesh, you know, there's been just a constant militance there among garment workers. And that's, you know, that is long standing in the fact that there are a lot of textile workers there. Part of that has to do with outsourcing that work from China. You didn't know that until recently, from China to Bangladesh. Anyway, in one of the latest rounds of resistance, workers vandalized a so-called ready-made factory, which the work is done elsewhere. In Ashulia, near Sabar in Bangladesh, they were on the attack because of, they were trying to get rid of corrupt officials, they were trying to get rid of a manager who was molesting women workers. There was a clash there involving four factories. There are always battles going on there. There's a lot of strong resistance. Also on Thursday in Guelph, Ontario, the Royal Bank of Canada got smashed up the RTM. The ATMs there, this particular brand smashed up, landslots filled with adhesive, that sort of thing. On Friday, this is a solidarity kind of thing. I just thought I'd read some of this. I don't know much about this, and I don't know what all this really portends. I don't know what material damage was done, but this this has to do with Dave Solidarity. This is sent to Eric. It says, Warmest Revolutionary Greetings to Dave Solidarity. Having finished his last day in prison for a parole violation, which originally stemmed from his capture after an arson attack in an Army recruitment center. So, this statement says, as a welcome home gift, we rented some of the tasteless, gaudy condos in the neighborhood where he normally lives, works, and struggles in solidarity with Dave against the ongoing gentrification process, and driven by a general sense of aesthetic responsibility. We took it upon ourselves to burst a few of those glass encrusted blemishes infesting Brooklyn like an unsightly rash, so that once he returns home, he could enjoy the discriminating attention to detail that went into our exterior decorating project, Urban Renewal, at its finest. And it goes on to say, in this miserable world structured completely by exploitation and domination, all relationships from the intimate to the professional bear the imminent mark of oppression, and subsequently each connection between individuals is crafted solely for the furtherance of personal interests and shameless self-promotion. Hypocrisy, betrayal, and deceit are the predominant values upheld by this class-divided society, and unfortunately penetrate each and every fragile bond tying submissive beings together. Anyway, it's a kind of a negative take on things. And it is a reference to snitching in some ways here, and in favor of the solidarity that we need. It's a kind of it's a blow, but it's also a commentary, which is somewhat bitter as they see the status of things in terms of in terms of support for Dave. On Saturday, a raid causing damages to the office of ENEL, which is the National Energy Agency of Italy, and a municipal building. This is in Florence. And other acts, including graffiti and so forth. 19 anarchists were arrested for these acts in Florence. And back since October 2005, people have been carrying out the invasion of a number of buildings. And apparently, the center is around this ENEL building, which has to do with energy policy, including nuclear power. This is from many news from around the world. It's a little bit lacking in details. If I can find out what's going on with them. In Brazil, in the Brazilian Amazon, indigenous folks occupied the site of a hydroelectric plant in construction. They say that the work has been going on, the construction going on an ancient burial ground. The 300 people involved took over the power plant in Mato Grosso State on Sunday, as I say, initially preventing 100 workers from leaving. They did allow the construction workers to leave. There were reports of violence or injuries. These people from several tribes on the bows and arrows occupied the plant. There's so much dam building. It's just a frenzy of dam building. The leftist government is all out for power, mostly hydro power. So where's the indigenous folks and their burial ground and so on? That's what's going on there. Just today, here's the latest issue of Adbusters. The issue is called I Revolution. So it's got a pretty cool cover of some massive anarchists, it looks like. 2 weeks ago, was it 2 weeks ago when Kathleen was here? Yeah, brought in the previous issue, and it had some interesting things. I recall her pointing out some pretty pithy things. Once again, I think the deal is, now and then there's a good issue, but don't know if you read this one. It's really pretty stupid. This is just kind of trolling in the sewers to find some basis for Revolution, when I say sewer, I mean Zizek and Banu. Those letters, you know, that's a joke. Of course, it is a joke, a very bad joke, but I don't know where they, and Kali Wasserman puts this out. He seems to, it's almost like he's getting paid to say this all the time, no matter how irrelevant it is. He seems to have the slightest idea what he's citing. And I'm talking about his almost constant reference to the situationist Devore and others. Meanwhile, if you want to talk about spectacle, it's remarkable. This is a textbook of spectacle. It's just images. There's no depth. It just kind of throws out stuff. I mean, I'm not opposed to being suggestive and having a variety of approaches and ideas. That's terrific. But if you have, but what are you talking about? You're looking for, they're asking, what would be the grounds for revolution? We're not done, are we? Has the wild human spirit been tamed? And the people that they uphold are exactly the people doing their best to tame that wild spirit. It's tired leftist stuff, and it's very close to parody. It's dumb. It's really, that's all you can say. It's not entertaining. It's just kind of dumb. It's just a brown bag of every conceivable political thing that ever happened for no apparent focus or aim or point. And the question, it raised a couple of questions. Yeah, what would it take? And it's going to take more than just haphazard, you know, looking under the rocks and finding the same failed stuff. That for sure is going to be what it's about. And, you know, if we're going to talk about the grounds for anything, we should be looking at the grounds for this existence. We should be wondering, how is it out there? How did it get this bad? What really does drive it? What's behind that? You know, when I read the New York Times every day, there's been a lot of stories since last week. There was a family, they call this, now there's a psychological term for this, family annihilation. Family on Staten Island. Family of five, four kids and a mother, a single parent. Three of them had their throats cut and the others died in the fire. And originally it was felt that the 14-year-old boy, the one male, had slit the throats of his sisters and then set this fire, murder suicide kind of a thing. And now, if it could get worse, I don't know, it's not possible to measure these things or compare these things or come up with something like that. But now, the evidence, according to the latest report, I think this is today, it was probably the mother that killed them, that cut their throats and set the place on fire. It was indeed a family annihilation. Which is the more horrific, the child or the mother wasting the whole family? They found a straight razor, and the boy had some trouble in school, but they seemed like a very together family. There was never any conflict. Opines Jacqueline Brooks, who runs a daycare program that the youngest children attended. No incidents at all. The girls came in happy. The baby was healthy. Yeah, it's all looking good in society. I don't know what could have been going on. We just don't know, do we? You know, one thing, kind of overlook this has much more to do with the action missing. Since the G20 fairly recently in Toronto and another great display of black bloc, you also see the four police cruisers burn and banks attack and so on. with the predictable, I guess I kind of said this before, but I'm going to bring it up again as an article that bears on this, kind of predictable blowback from people would say, oh, that's horrible, that just disturbs people, makes the movement look bad. And I'll say it again, that is the movement, if you want to use that word that some of us find a little problematic. That is what's going on. What movement are you worried about? That's the people that have blood in their veins and guts enough to get out there. And the people that are whining about, what is it that you're, this is putting what in bad light? Or, I mean, I don't even get it. I don't even know how that really works. But what is the bad side of it? It's harming what? I mean, frankly, I don't even know what that means. It's causing something to be negatively affected. I don't know what. The only effect I see is inspiring, like, frankly, the people that are been waiting and waiting for somebody to do something, and the anarchists are it. And this is a big public part of it, and there it is. And if you don't like it, well, you're not. Anyway, I was referring. There's a piece Peter Genderlis wrote this. I think this came out on Sunday, I believe. Something like that. Came out on Anarchist News. Kind of a longish piece called The Crisis as Pacification. Has a lot of good points in it. I just want to mention one thing. This is Peter Genderlis, who lives in Barcelona. Saw him in Berkeley at the Bastard Conference the day after the Anarchist Book Fair down there in the Bay Area. And he was with a couple of Greeks. He gave a very, very cool, very informative, very rousing talk with slides about what's going on in Greece and how they proceed, how they do these assemblies, how people are listened to, and how the whole thing happens. You know, it's not just totally spontaneous stuff. There are people consciously working on these things, taking risks and so forth. Anyway, part of this Genderlis piece, I think it's from a larger work called Conversation and Crisis. And it says a lot. It's the name of it. It's the heading for one of his sections of this thing. It's simply called Action Comes Before Popularity. And you don't even have to read the rest of it. I mean, really, it's, think about that. You know, that's the point. Action comes before popularity. You've got to take the action to create the climate, to create the situation, to burst through something, to burst through the inertia and show that it can be done. And if you never have that, you don't even have to worry about popularity. And the popularity, I think, will come. I mean, I think that's implicit in this forward heading there, too. But you got to have the action. I mean, you got to have more than the action. You got to have transparency. You got to have some good ideas. You got to have some, lots of things. I'm not just saying it's all militancy in the street. I don't think that's true. But I think Peter makes a good point. Action comes before popularity. That's worth thinking about. Oh, this is a good one. This is a little weird here. Thank you to whoever sent this. I didn't copy the entire thing, and I forget who it was that sent this to me a couple of days ago. By the way, I really appreciate when people send me news items, comments, quotes, whatever. It's I don't always get around to them, but I deeply appreciate your interest, your help. This is a piece from Greenopolis. I don't know, Greenopolis, one of the millions of green and sustainable things. Like it. This has to do with Stafford Creek Correction Center in Aberdeen, Washington. This is a green prison. Yes, everything can be green. This is really wonderful. The Stafford Creek Correction Center is not like every other prison. Oh, yes, it's surrounded by razor wire and guards with high-powered rifles. But it's also surrounded by organic gardens. Yeah, I swear, I'm not making this up. I'm reading here. Anyway, it's just as green as can be, and they are, and they're recycling. It saves money too, I suppose, to build more prisons. I'm not sure where the money goes, but it's pretty good. I'm a big fan of green prisons. Trish Smith by the Green Grove. I don't know what the Green Grove is, but I guess it's a publication that feeds into Greenopolis. Yeah, it's just perfect. Well, you know, nobody's going to say, well, it shouldn't have gardens. So, yeah, they've been kind of a brick if there's a prison. Sure, but, you know, but just to make this whole thing about how it says it's full of prisoners who are eager to give back to the environment. Prisoners are part of a sustainability program. Ever been to a prison? Ever know anything about any prison anywhere? I think they're eager to give back. Gee, they're just so they're going to run in the streets and start planting flowers. You know, and you know, what kind of giddy nonsense is this? This is a paradise of sustainability. Yeah, this is quite nutty. Yeah, you say so. You know, I think we're gonna. Yeah, I've got a few things, but I think we're gonna cut to. We're gonna cut to Kevin Tucker. He's gonna give us a few words here. While we do this.
So what does the ELF want? Why are they committing these criminal acts? We spoke to local terrorism expert Dr. Jeffrey Bloodworth at Gannon University.
There are goods, modernity. There are goods, the 20th century. If you read their literature, they intend Kevin Tucker, if you read what he says, wants to society to devolve back into four under-gathering gods. They call themselves anarchists. And they believe what is society?
We played it once quite a long time ago, right?
Yeah, we did. I wonder if we played that one.
Is there something else in there? I think it's all music. We tend to stay away from it. Oh, sorry. No. Actually, Peregrine, Kevin, and his friends were in the Midwest. And I just want to throw this out, by the way. If you are in the Midwest and you'd like to see Kevin and myself, and who knows who else? This fall, maybe October-wise or something like that. We're trying to cook up something, so get in touch if you have an idea, especially if you have an idea involving a source that might help fund this. For example, a college group or somebody else. Maybe some university connection has a little bit of a budget. Us in a while. The last one kind of set us back. We wasn't totally covered the expenses wise, you might say. Okay, well, let's see. We're kind of winding down. I'm just too depressed about the signal on this thing all at once. It's just, what can I say? I got something here. This is a mundane thing, but I think it's worth bringing up since we get from the air conditioning, and this is from the LA Times too. It's a different writer than the one I cited before. Air conditioning, it's not as cool as we think. You know, there are all kinds of things that we take for granted, of course, things that we use, you know, and we feel like they become necessities without thinking about it. Air conditioning was found in only 12% of U.S. homes in 1960, it's 85% now. Isn't that amazing? I had no idea. I would think it'd be, you know, in the desert or in the south, it's going to be pretty high in the summer. But no, 85%. Virtually no new house or car is built without it. I really didn't know that either. And so, what is that involved? Well, part of it. You know, if you just look at it on a personal basis, you can think about the gigantic energy expenditure, which is incredibly enormous. But when we are less exposed to heat, in these days of chill, apparently, that our own physical and mental tolerance really declines. Figures. And our fondness for the air conditioner grows. Yes. We become conditioned. Oh, yeah. And, of course, this article, it's got a lot of what's in there. The relentless intensification of work and commuting patterns could not have been sustained summer after summer without the air conditioning pipeline that continues employees in cool vehicles from cool homes to cool offices and back. Maybe with a stop at an even chillier supermarket or mall. You know, and of course, what building, I mean, I guess there are some, but buildings are not made with windows that open because you get air conditioning. You open the window, that's kind of, there you have nature conflicting with the engineered reality. And as far as the impact in terms of climate, air conditioning buildings and cars in the U.S., they have the climate impact of 500 million metric tons of carbon dioxide a year, which exceeds the total annual carbon dioxide emissions of any one of these nations, Australia, France, Brazil, or Indonesia. Just the AC. Kind of amazing. But we can't go back. We can't stop playing. We can't go back. That's for pay. What experience. What did Frank Zappa say? Nature is what I experienced from my car to the air to the terminal at the airport. Yeah, I love that. But no, fun. Oh, man. Well, I will be back. This will be another solo show next week. And, then we'll be in August. We're already almost in August here. It's the 27th of July. Then we have Captain, I think, on the third Tuesday. And I hope we will be seeing Cliff fairly soon. He's been very busy this summer, especially this month. But looking forward to be back. I want to share with you, I think I want to share with you something I got from a friend. Pretty intriguing commentary about where we're at. I think I might disclose that without disclosing his name or location or anything. But, and a few other things. But, so hang in there and thank you for putting up with the problems that we've been having over here. Catch you next week. Thank you.